Hello, and welcome to the Swift Talk. I'm Kate, the Swiftie.
And I've just been reminded that I'm supposed to keep a promise, not so swift, Sam.
Yeah. Funny how some of us remember.
It is.
It's funny.
It's amazing the amount of things I've forgotten. Countless.
Yeah. Wild. Absolutely wild how many things you've forgotten.
I saw a post the other day of like, hey, I can't believe I got to go to this show with these people. Thank you to this person for getting us all tickets. And I'm like, I don't remember seeing this show. I remember that I went. I don't remember
like
watching it.
Play or concert?
It was a comedy show. It was Second City Improv, and they're performing in New Hampshire. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember being really excited about it. And I remember none of it. Either I had a blast.
Or you had a scotch.
I had probably a couple scotches and a blast. Yeah. That makes more sense.
You know.
Yeah.
The things we do. So, quiet week in Taylor Land.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not really sure where she is. Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Papa's not going to jail.
That was a last week thing.
Right.
We think she spent Easter with the Kelsey family. Jason, okay. Kylie, the kids.
Does her family really big on Easter at all?
Yeah. There's videos of her Easter egg hunts with her brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. So she's probably with the Kelseys.
We do know she was not at the iHeart Radio Awards,
which is something she usually is at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So people think that her plane got stuck in Philly. Because Travis did an interview Monday, and they had to push it because his plane was grounded.
Mm-hmm.
So, who could say?
Where is his interview going to be?
This is not a Travis Kelce podcast.
It's very true. Okay. So, that is an incomplete question. 10-yard penalty, first song.
But, you know, Taylor just had kind of a little award sweep thing happening at iHeart. In full transparency, I did not watch the iHeart.
Oh, well, she wasn't there. You didn't have to.
Well, I was watching the Iowa game.
Yeah.
My girl, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Just dropping threes. So, Taylor won for lyrics. Cruel Summer won for, I think, TikTok song. She won Artist of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Tour style. Pop artist. I think Cruel Summer was TikTok bop. She did that one Song of the Year. Miley did for Flowers, which we're used to. That's fine.
Right.
Give Miley her flowers.
Mm-hmm. Flowers for Miley.
But yeah, she didn't win Fan Army. She didn't win Best Tour.
Who?
Her movie didn't win. I'm sorry.
Her movie didn't win Best
Tour. No, a K-pop movie. K-pop fans are better than Swifties. We got some work to do.
K-pop fans, let me just...
I know.
To be clear, when K-pop started really like creeping in, when I say creeping in, I mean like becoming more notarized in America, which was 2017.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay, this might be a fad. However, no not so much.
No, you think Swifties are a force. Meet the K-pops.
Oh, God. K-pop everywhere.
Yeah. And like it's a thing.
Yeah. Huge in Canada, huge in the U.S., huge in Mexico, India.
Huge all over the world. They're huge.
Yeah.
Which, good for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's great to see it, you know? A new realm of boy bands.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's so crazy. And every music video that they do, the few that I've seen, is a film production. I'm not going to knock anything Taylor today. I'm going to try not to knock anything Taylor.
Over under.
Her music videos are touchstone cinema pieces. Definitely to the Taylor Swift fan, but I could watch them and be like, yeah, money and time and effort was put into this.
Yeah.
K-pop, it's like a 3-minute movie, like big budget movie.
Yeah.
Like we're going up against Oppenheimer.
Yeah. They're ready for it.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's crazy. Good for them, though.
Who won? I'm sorry. Who won Fan Army for K-pop?
Mm-hmm.
Who won the tour of the year? Was it K-pop as well?
I think she won Tour Style.
Tour Style. Okay.
Yeah. Beyonce won, I think, Innovator of the Year, which Taylor won last year. Beyonce's new album has stirred up the Swifties a little bit.
Yeah.
We thought she was on it. We thought she had background vocals on Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty sure. That sounds a lot like Taylor.
And all that was just... a little trick.
Well, because one of the Beyonce insiders kind of like, oh, well, Taylor.
That's how they get you to listen. That's how they get you to listen.
Well, and then I listened to the whole album, which I thought was great. I was pleasantly surprised. Jason seems unimpressed. Not a Bayhive member?
No.
Would you rather listen to Taylor or Beyonce?
I'd rather listen to Taylor now. Beyonce is a pop icon that should stay in the pop realm.
Her country was pretty good. Jolene was great. Blackbird, very good.
I have not listened to either of those songs yet. I have not taken the time to sit down and listen to it. I have heard the comparison of the Texas Hold'em to the PBS mid-2000s cartoon, Hey, It's Franklin, and the guitar is very much the same guitar.
I haven't seen this.
It's very much, Hey, It's Franklin, go to your house. Yeah, it's the same guitar.
Yikes. And Lizzo quit music this week.
Quit?
Yeah.
Upright quit.
She was like, I'm done. I'm out. Like, this is too much. Too much hate. Too much lies. Too much speculation. Too much gossip.
Yeah.
I can't do what I love without you guys tearing me down. Bye. And we're all like, oh.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
She'll be back. She just needs a break. Take a break. Lick your wounds. Get a better publicist.
I think that we've seen with artists that you can still do what you love without being as prominent in the spotlight.
It's like, I say this a lot. It's got to be impossible to go from sleeping in your car in between gigs and, you know, hoping that you have enough money to get from point A to point B to being Lizzo became. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just such a big rise. And the higher you climb, the faster they want to knock you down. It happened with Taylor. Mm-hmm. Like, you really have to kind of reevaluate where your priorities are and who's really on your team and who your people are. And I think Lizzo learned that quickly and hardly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'll be fine. She's just got to regroup.
Yeah, she'll figure it out.
Yeah. Take a few months, year, whatever. Find your voice again. Find your people. Get a better publicist. Mm-hmm.
Listen, why fans great till they got to be great?
It's really, yeah, but it was people around her. It was her dancers. No, yeah. Like, she got it from all ends. And that's, I mean, Taylor went through it too.
Exactly. And a prime example, somebody who made 2 to 3 albums without being fully engrossed with everyone seeing what they're up to.
Yeah.
Or the speculations all became, well, what is she doing?
Lizzo needs a tree pain. She needs a better publicist.
She's going to spend time on a pond. She's going to just be on a pond.
Yeah.
Come to New Hampshire. We have, On Golden Pond was written up here. Come to New Hampshire.
Lizzo would thrive here.
You would be great.
We would have a Lizzo if by any chance you happen to be listening to this Taylor Swift podcast. Yeah.
If you don't know the address of Taylor Swift's mom's house, but you do know where Lizzo is, let her know.
Send this on to Lizzo, our girl. We support her.
Yeah. We're going to buy a Marley bed and just set it up for you, all right? You can just be here whenever you want.
She could live down here and podcast with us.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Here we go. You could literally Peloton with Lizzo right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
This is great. Here we are, solving the world's problems bit by bit. If you have a problem, write us. Tell us what the problem is.
You got a problem, we'll solve it. Step up, Lizzo.
Anything else pop... I love this. I love the new podcast we're doing. But anything
else? I feel like I should get credit for that one.
That's the funniest you really should been in months.
Kate,
ouch!
That was very funny.
Thanks, guys.
It was very funny. If you think Kate's funny, let us know.
Like, she's not. She's half right. She's right half the time.
Yeah, and the other half, correct.
Other than Jack also winning producer of the year at the iHeart, that's what I got in Taylor Land. I mean, there's Webby Award stuff that we'll get to with her and Travis. There's, you know, an April Fool's prank that was floating around that Travis cheated on Taylor, which everyone's like, stop it. TikTok did not take that well.
Yeah.
My little corner of TikTok's been, well, so actually, since you asked and we have a little time in this part, I was watching the Eras Tour on my walking pad this week, as I like to start my day off with. And I was watching the Lover House burn down, as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's interesting because, like, the Lover House has all the eras up through midnight. So, you know, all 10 of the eras that we know. And now it's burnt down. So have we ended with our eras and are we starting a new age of Taylor?
It could be.
So, like, is this, like, because, okay, the era, like, one or two words, quick, snappy titles for her albums. along Tortured Poets. She's obviously not going to be touring for this one. Is she going to shove it into the Eras tour? Or is she going to be like, nope, this stands on its own? Like, how, like, is this really like the old Taylor is actually gone and dead and we are moved on to the adult Taylor? Is this her swan song?
It could be.
Her capstone piece.
Her piece de resistance.
Before she's like, all right, I toured. I'm giving you all my re-records. Here's my Tortured Poets, which is like the period on the end of the Eras. We're starting a new age. Enjoy. I'm going to go be a normal human for a little bit.
This is the long and winding road?
Maybe. Mm. Or maybe she's just like, let's see what I can stir up with this.
Could be. Could be. I like this idea, though.
Yeah. This is what I was thinking about this week.
And then she'll come back with a huge tour with Lizzo as the opener.
Yep.
And
I'll be there. Three nights.
Yeah. And they'll be calling it the Behave Hive. Because they'll be having. And Beyonce will.
Is Beyonce going to be there in this?
No.
I don't think so. No, I can't see that.
No. See, Kate's funnier than I am today. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. So what's this song we're doing this week, Kate?
This is me trying.
Which album is this from again?
Folklore.
Folklore. Okay.
Folklore.
Okay.
Another cabin. You know, it's going to snow this week.
It is. We're getting a nor'easter.
We're nice and cozy.
We're going to get anywhere between 2 centimeters to 28 feet of snow.
Sure.
2 to 4 feet is what they projected for most of central and eastern.
We're coastal. Western, I think we're maybe getting like 6 inches or a mix.
If we get 6 inches, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I would be too. I don't think we're getting much. Mm. That's okay. I'm ready for
spring. It's April. I got things to do outside.
If you think it's going to snow, write us at the Slip Talk.
All right. So we're going to hit pause. You hit pause. And we're listening to This Is Me Trying off Folklore. We'll be right back. Well, Sam.
Whoa. Do you want to?
Yes, no, I do. I just, you know, prepare on songs like this.
Okay.
Are your least favorites.
Listen, take a moment. Your feelings are valid. Collect what you're feeling. I would like you to ask me again. When you're ready,
you
ask what, me
Sam,
again.
Sam, you are right. I am so sorry. Well, Sam, bop.
This song was fucking great.
What?
This song was great. This song reminded me of like Radiohead Kid A,
yeah.
Milk Carton Kids. It had this great like grunge is dead aesthetic to it where it's still kind of reminiscent. It was like a smoky drum beat, like a trucking along bass line. I think the brass and strings was a nice touch, especially on a song that had zero guitar, which could have just been a guitar song.
Yeah.
I think instrumentally, sonically, sounded great. I get that for some diehard fans. They're like, I like country Taylor. I like pop Taylor. In her Folklore, Evermore, Cottagecore, mm-hmm. she's got more of that brassy, smoky,
mm-hmm. loungy
voice. Mm-hmm. I think that was a good touch to this. Mm-hmm. I think that it's one of those songs that it's incomplete. If you're looking at it as a story, it's definitely incomplete, but it's very much the time space where you know exactly what's going on. Where it's someone who's just like, it's like graduating high school and you're going away to do something huge and you come back to where you're from and you haven't done the huge thing or it fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just there and everyone's kind of like, huh, yeah, man. Oh, I remember this. That was cool. Like you'd be reminiscent or you could look at your friends and be like, we're all doing fantastic things. What are you up to? And you're like,
I'm here.
The you're just a flashback on the movie screen at the
flashback of a film reel on the one screen in my town. Did I get that right? You're a flashback and a film reel on the one screen in my town. Yeah,
that might be one of the coolest lyrics she's ever written.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think lyrically, this might be up there with All Too Ten for me.
I mean, this is up there with Shake It Off for me.
Hi.
And I mean that right there, precision cut lyrics.
If I didn't think that my head was about to explode of shock before that statement, I am just flabbergasted. Okay.
Where Shake It Off, if Shake It Off is a diamond edge scalpel, this is like a laser pointer.
Yeah.
It's not as deadly, but it's very precise still. You can see exactly what she's pointing at the map.
Well, this is more introspective.
Oh, definitely.
Than Shake It
But
Off.
It's not as maddeningly indulgent. You're so into yourself and indulgent that you lose everyone except for you. You know what I mean? It's not one of those.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, man. Most of the songs on these two albums are very much like they're each a story on a tapestry, and it's been woven together, and you can see, and I get it. And some of those for me work really well, and other ones I'm like, okay, you're related to a poet from the 1800s. Cool for you. Yes, it's some of them don't hit me.
Yeah, this one hit.
But some of these songs really do, and when they do, this one, I 100% authentically, I really like this song. I think it's one of her best songs. I'm kind of saddened that this wasn't one of the ones that could have been played at the Eras Tour.
Well, it's a secret song contender.
Again.
Yeah, but I think there's something more magical about it not being in every night.
Sure,
like,
sure. Yeah.
Because this song...
That's a great thing to tell your boyfriend or girlfriend at home, by the way. Oh, it's more of a magical thing if it doesn't happen every night.
Sam. 9-year-olds listen to this.
If you don't know what I'm
talking about. Sam, anyway. This it came out on Folklore, and I was like, what did she just say? So I like listen. This is one that I like in the album, in the first listen, went back to a couple times. I was like, she just said I got wasted like all of my potential.
No, it's like and all I'm like, of my cages whoa. Are mental. I got wasted like all my potential. I drowned my sorrows with a stranger, but I didn't pour the whiskey. That right there to me was really cool because it's like, I'm not the one who got me inebriated. It's the bartender. So you're blaming the person who's advocating for your behavior. But also it's kind of like pouring the whiskey, like pouring one out.
Well,
it's not like putting this to rest. It's like, it's still going.
So Taylor has said when she did her Long Pond with Aaron and Jack.
Long Pond.
That this is about mental health struggles and addiction struggles. And when I listened to, and before I like kind of fell back into that. When I listened to this song, I was like, it feels like you're not, like you said, like you went off, you did your thing, or you like were in a relationship and you broke up with them and you moved on and then you run into them and you're like, oh, I really screwed this one up. And like, to me, like, I think that's why I like the song, because it could be about going through your addictions where you're like, yep, like this is me. Like these are mental problems. Like this is, I'm not okay, and I've wasted my potential, like all of that. But it also could be you're just this high-end overachiever and you realize that you're not where you thought you would be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're standing there being like, yeah, I'm not special anymore. I'm trying to pull myself out
of. I didn't give up. I'm not done.
I'm just not trying where I should be. And like, this is me trying.
I think that's it. Yeah, whether it's the career or the relationship, it ended and it devastated you. And, you know, you screw up as much as you can to feel better about it, but you don't feel better about it. So then what do you finally do? It's like, you got to take a step.
And, you know, to some people, they listen to that, like, I pour my heart out to a stranger, but I didn't pour the whiskey. I went to therapy. I didn't drink it away. Mm-hmm. And when I read it, when I was listening to it, I was like, I'm pouring my heart out to the bartender and they're pouring me the whiskey, which is why I'm getting wasted like all of my potential
because
I don't want to deal with
the
setbacks or the hiccups that I have faced or the disillusionment of life not happening the way I wanted it to happen.
I mean, I can attest that sometimes, especially, it feels so much better to wallow and just tell everyone that there's a problem than it is to hear the solution to it.
Yeah, we've sometimes both
it's
been
just
there.
Like, Ugh. Nope. Well, here's what you do. Nope. Don't tell me what to do. Just keep drinking with me.
Yeah.
Keep pouring me a drink.
I'll take another.
My goal is be sad now. Yeah. Me be sad.
Just keep the wine coming. You know it's bad now. Like it used to be Jameson and Sauvignon Blanc was a regular occurrence, but you know it's a bad week for me when that pops back up.
Yeah. I mean, it was me, Boilermakers. It was, the whiskey and a beer right now, please.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like this is just wildly relatable because I think a lot of, especially Taylor's fans, are these bred overachievers who... You know, we got into our 20s and our 30s and we're looking around and we're like, is this what I thought my life, am I where I thought I would be? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm exhausted.
Okay.
Like, am I partying too much? Maybe. Am I drinking too much wine? Probably.
I want to touch for a moment on what you just said, though. The mm-hmm. the fan base being, for a lot of them, overachievers. Mm-hmm. I feel like that helps answer something I was going to ask you originally, because I feel like with most artists, performers, celebrities, you can be a fan that looks at them and you admire them and you want to be like them. Mm-hmm. Or they're inspiring you to do your own. If they can do it, I can do it. And then I feel like when it comes to the majority of Taylor Swift fans, you look at Taylor and you all go together. It's one of us doing it. That's us. Yeah. Isn't that great? Look at us. We all did it. Yeah. It's that more of the tribe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so interesting, because when it comes to, as you also said, her lyrics being so relatable, call me crazy, but I think maybe every now and then I don't really relate to her lyrics or her message or her songs.
Occasionally. Yes.
And true. Then there's ones that I'm like, yeah, even if I'm not like, even if I don't relate, it's like the appreciations there are like, ooh, yeah, I can feel the vibe. It's, I get it. It's not fully in sync, bye, but I get it.
I think this is why so many Swifties were really kind of frustrated when USA Today picked a male to cover the Taylor Swift beat, because there's so much more layers, I guess, is what I'm looking for, to be a Taylor Swift fan than just, oh, I really like her music. Like, it really speaks to me, because it's that anxious overachiever. Like, this generation of women were bred to be in the gifted and talented program, to get into college, to do all of these big things, to be, you were born to be special. You will be great. You, and the anxious overachieving drive, the like, I have to do this, I have to check this off my to-do list, I have to get to the next level, like, I have to do this and this. And you see it come out in the fan base all the time. It's, I have to get tickets, done. I have to make friendship bracelets, done. I have to have the best outfit, done. I have to get tour merch, done. I have to buy every variant of Taylor's CD, done. Like, she understands our anxious attachment style so well, and we're like, ugh, this is great. Like, we have our roadmap. We know how to check things off and succeed. We can talk about our Easter eggs. Like, we can be right, we can be wrong, but like, look at us. Maybe we are right. And I think it's just hard for somebody who did not grow up in that pressure keg to really understand the Swifties and to really understand the cultural impact. And, you know, it's kind of like nobody's really talked about it before Taylor did. She's, you know, we are all like, ugh, yeah. I'm a pathological people pleaser.
Well, no, it's, yes. It's such a cool point, because it's also, I'm gonna just assume it's hard for you as someone who identifies, especially with that large base of fandom, when the nonchalant cavalier Taylor Swift fan comes up. Me. Oh yeah, shake it off. What? It's old money versus new money. You're like, you are not one of us. Don't even for a second. Well, what do you mean? We're all fans, right?
Yeah, and there are. It's all fans. And like, it's great to have such a wide variety of fan base. And I don't want to be like, well, one Swiftie. Like, there's a purist of Swifties, because I think that's kind of garbage. Mm-hmm. But I think that the core, what made Taylor Taylor, were this type of Swiftie. Mm-hmm. And now it's great to see like young girls starting to really like dig into her discography. Right. It's great to see like casual fans start to be like, oh, I wonder what Tortured Poets is going to be. It's great that she is this mainstream and it's all like, ugh, who is Taylor Swift anyway? Like, you're not seeing as much belittling of it. You're seeing a lot of eye rolls because she is super oversaturated right now, which I think her laying low until Tortured Poets comes out is a brilliant move, probably for her mental health, but also to kind of like slow the news cycle down a little bit, let Beyonce have her time, like stay out of the spotlight. It's just interesting to me. I laugh because every time something, Julie, my boss, the owner of the restaurant I work at, called me and we were talking about TikTok, and she's like, yeah, and apparently like Taylor's like getting all this hate and has beef against Olivia Rodrigo, and she's talking to him about all of these, her side of TikTok. I'm like, oh, I don't get that. I haven't seen it. She's like, well, what do you think? Like, are you worried that like she's gonna lose a lot of fans? And I laughed and I was like, well, it's happened before. It will probably happen again. You can't really stay on top of Mount Olympus. Mm-hmm. And like, it'll make getting concert tickets easier. So, okay. Like, as long, she's going to keep making music. She's going to keep making the music she wants. And if you want to stay on board, great. Stay. If it's not for you anymore, that's fine too. Like,
you know where to find me. Here's my address.
I joke that it's a cult, but you really can't leave. It's fine.
Right, which is the cult that keeps on culting.
Yeah, that's why we survive so far.
So if this was dealing with mental health addiction, mm-hmm. is there a key person that inspired it? Is it maybe like her just being like kind of locked into having to be with herself because it's the pandemic? Do you think like just being alone and reflecting?
I'm not sure. I looked into that a little bit this week. I tried to kind of dig deep. I didn't find a whole lot. I'm sure somebody's gonna be like, oh well, Kate, it's here, and I would love to see it. But I think part of it too is like she's been through some dark, mm-hmm. not so great times, and I think too, you look around, especially like the Kanye Kim whole thing after 1989, she like had to take a step back and she didn't trust anybody. And mm-hmm. now she's like, well, am I a failure? Am I a snake? Like, I wonder if she was drawing on some of that dark place that she was in, because she said that the song, it's about addiction and mental health and how people don't know about it and how close people are going back to that dark place. Right. Like these internal struggles that people don't share. And you start to think about like, well, what signs did I miss? Like where could we have been more helpful? But people deal with things and their struggles and their pain in such an insular way. And I think the song at least gives like words to it. It gives like some sort of normalcy to like, it's okay not to be okay. Like as long as you're trying, mm-hmm. just try. Like wake up in the morning, get up, put one foot in front of the other. And that's all you have to do.
That's the cool thing about this, mm-hmm. especially like this conversation and this song and this idea, because it's not like she went and being like, I'm going to tackle mental health. I was like, no, this is, I have an idea. This is kind of based off of just my own experience mm-hmm. with it. So it's not coming from a place of ignorance. It's why it's relatable, because her situation can still cause the same feelings in somebody else with an entirely different situation.
Yeah.
These problems, we don't really understand and we don't want to address. However, when we try to just explain at least what's going on inside, a lot of us find that common ground and be like, yeah, I feel that too. That weird darkness, that mm-hmm. discomfort. You're numb. You're not driven. You're tired. You're anxious.
You're over it.
Yeah.
And I think it's very interesting that this song came out pandemic times, mm-hmm. because people really, this was an album that really changed the trajectory of Taylor's career.
Yeah.
And it was a departure album and it came out and it just hit. Like you listen to this song in COVID times and you're like, we've gotten past the like, are we going to reopen? Are we going to be okay? Like we're kind of reopened. Things are, like, we don't really understand what's going on. Things are starting to spike again. And the song comes out and you're like, yep, all I have to do is try to get through it. Like, and I think she says in the concert a lot that she was drinking a lot of wine and like living out her like 1820s nightgown in a forest fantasies. And I think it's just very fascinating to see where her brain went through all of this and the songs that came out and the little bit of hope that you get and the little bit of despair that you see and the kind of fabric and the threads that all weave together mm-hmm. to make this album. And it's very much a moment in time album. Like in 10 years, 20 years, when we look back on it, we'll be like, yeah, that's a COVID album.
It's so funny to me that you and I can find the same thing with this song, being like, oh, there's a bit of hope in here. It's dark, it's scary, but there's mm-hmm. hope. And at the same point when I'm like, oh, I'm still at the diner where you left me, I find there's some hope in that. And you're like, there's no hope in that. Because this one...
There's a little bit of hope.
But objectively, you could look and be like, yeah, there's no hope.
Nope, there's hope.
All you can do is try it. There's no hope there. You can nope, just... That's all you hope. Can do. That's the best you can do now.
There is no hope in right where you left me.
I will be right here waiting for you.
Well, is it because you're singing the wrong song in your head? Maybe that's where you're getting the hope from.
Maybe that's where
maybe.
It is.
Maybe.
I dig this song. I feel like if this one we hadn't listened to 140 songs later.
We're not at 140 yet. I think we're at like 136.
Off by miles. My apologies.
Miles.
I feel like if this was a song that we listened to like week nine, I would have been like, okay, Taylor.
I think if we had done this in the first two seasons, she would have been like, this is a little self-indulgent, Kate.
Probably. I was a lot more versatile back then with my raw emotion. I think that, yeah, sonically, it's a cool sound. I think that it fits exactly with that cottage core. I do dig it. I'm not going to say it's the most prolific song in the world. I'm going to say, like, I feel it, though.
I don't know.
I get what she's...
All my cages were mental, so I got wasted. Like all of my potential is a.
No, it's a sweet bar. Like that's a great line. It's the freaking
and then
one screen movie theater.
I don't know though. Wait.
It's like the Majestic. I feel like I'm watching Jim Carrey in a good movie that no one likes. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it, dude.
I put the lyrics away, but I got wasted like all my potential. Or all my cages are mental. I got wasted by like all my potential and my words shoot to hurt when I'm mad.
Shoot to kill when I'm mad.
I have a lot of regrets about that. Mm-hmm. That whole.
Yeah. Yeah,
that,
dude.
That's
yeah.
for me, like Mount Olympus Taylor.
No. Yeah. Because seriously.
Maybe because I relate a little too much to that.
Yeah, dude. I get it. Like you get sad and the moment someone like steps on your foot or like does something to hurt you, you look at them and be like, I'm going to murder you right now and you will not recover from what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
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 I get it.
A lot of regrets about that.
Hey, there are two types of people in this world. Oh.
Anyway, let me pull up my track list.
All right.
You.
Yeah, dude. This
pull
song,
out your...
This song was great. This is great. Each and every week, we roll the Jillian Petruzziello. Always in our hearts, never sitting next to us. Dice.
We are going. We don't allow for guests. No guests. We have a very strict policy.
If you want to know about this policy, please write. We will write the policy to you. Each and every week, we roll the Jillian Petruzziello, always in our hearts, dice. We are going to pick an album. We're going to pick a song based off of D20. We have only 9 albums to choose from currently because we are all out of
reputation. And we've still got 17 more days
until
Tortured Poets.
Yeah. Here we go. 3.
Speak now, your favorite.
No, it's not, though. Why would you say that?
Roll your dice.
Wait, aren't you proud of me for keeping my promise?
I am shocked.
All right. Do we have a 17?
It's Electric Touch.
Ooh.
Yeah, Electric Touch is with Fall Out Boy.
Hmm. So she's performed with Fall Out Boy a couple times. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This was when emo was big. Emo's big again.
Hmm.
Emo nights and such.
Not quite seen, but emo. Yeah.
Well, you know, little black eyeliner never hurt anyone.
That's true. That's true. And I'm going to chime in with haven't you people ever heard of our podcast? Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or you just want to say thank you for what we do and you want us to say thank you to you, please feel free to hit us up.
At not so swift Sam.
Yeah. I don't get any hate mail, so I don't. Know what the deal is. I don't know if Kate only gets the hate mail. At Not So Swift Sam, part of the at the Swift Talk.
his little profile is tagged right in our bio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you haven't already, please tell 5, 10, 15, 50 of your favorite Swifties about this podcast. We are cruising to 100,000 streams and we would love to get there soon.
Yeah, dude. It's great. Kate's always coming with the knowledge. I'm coming with okay jokes and belly groans like, oh, God. And Jason's keeping us on track. So we
no booze this week, though, so we'll take it.
No booze. This is a dry week. No booze. Yeah. Feel free to, yeah, tell your friends, like, follow, subscribe. Follow us on the socials. We try to crank out a video or two every 5 to 7 months, you know?
I got to back up. They just wouldn't let me post on TikTok, and then I got frustrated, but they're going up on Instagram.
Nice.
I know. So anyway, if you haven't already, like, follow, subscribe, rate, review, tell Sam why he's wrong, tell the Swift Talk why you love us. We are back next week in our Speak Now era. We'll wear purple.
Oh, wow.
We're going to start dressing for the eras. Isn't that fun?
We are?
Yeah. I'll tell you what color to wear.
I'm in flannel.
I'm in gray for folklore.
Oh.
This works. Yeah.
Cottage, yeah.
Yeah, cottage.
Oh, I got purple shirts.
Yeah. We'll wear purple. I think I have purple. I think I own purple. Anyway, so we'll be back next week with the Electric Touch off Speak Now, Taylor's version. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Kate the Swiftie.
And I'm already trying to decide what to wear for next week. Not so Swift, Sam.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.